Ukraine is the only European country that functions according to open, pluralistic, competitive religious markets, and all of them keep growing. Every year, the number of communities grows in all categories.
在欧洲，这个乌克兰是唯一仿照美国的情况，是一个公开竞争的宗教市场。然后每一个宗教社群每一年都是在不停的成长，人数有增加。
So in this respect, it's like the United States.
在这个方面跟美国很像。
But actually, the number of believers in Ukraine is 66%.
但是其实宗教信仰的人数在乌克兰是66%。
Non-believers 23%。
不相信的人23%。
Atheists 5%。
另外还有5%的是无神论者。
And in terms of from the surveys, the denominations.The Ukrainian Orthodox Church Kyiv Patriarchate, the largest one is, no, excuse me, the KU Patriarchate, in terms of affiliation, self-reported affiliation, is the largest one with 22%. The Ukrainian, in terms of self-denominated affiliation, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church Kyiv Patriarchate is the largest one with 22%.
好，那么这个 Ukrainian 这个教会它是最大的，有22%这个比例。
The Ukrainian Orthodox Moscow Patriarchate 12%。
那么乌克兰东正教这个是在莫斯科的这个教区有12%。
And then Orthodox but without any denomination 26%。
但是不属于其他的，这个是26%。
Anyhow, now I think this gives you an idea of.The very different models, American model, European model, and then this particularly case in Europe, which comes close to the American model, we can discuss later why, if you have interesting, if you have a question, why is this so in Ukraine and not in Russia, for instance.
好，所以如果各位有兴趣的话，我们可以待会儿再来探讨，研究这些情形为什么会这样。
Let's go quickly now to the final section, and hopefully we'll still have about 40 minutes for discussion. So then at the level of society, of civil religion, let's look at Protestant fundamentalism and American civil religion. Nobody is likely to question the fact that religion in America remains an important political institution. Less clear is whether one could still claim with Tocqueville that it, quote,never intervenes directly in the government of American society.
不太清楚的就是我们是不是能够同意托克维尔所说的这个美国政府从来完全不直接干预宗教的情况。
And that the spirits of religion and freedom still march intimately linked together.
还有下面这句他曾经说就是宗教的精神和自由一直都是
In public religions in the modern world, in the chapter on U.S. Protestantism, I argue that from independence to the present, American Protestantism had gone through three consecutive processes of disestablishment.
那么在我写的这本书《现代世界中的公共宗教》里面关于美国的这个章节，我谈到我提出来的一个论点，就是美国的新教经过了底下几个不相连续的这个阶段。
The first disestablishment, the constitutional one, constructed the still disputed wall of separation between the Protestant churches and the federal state.
第一个阶段，第一个解除国教的这个阶段。 就是一个宗教的性质，是一个宪法性质的。那么他在这个地方设立了一道墙，这个墙是在新教的教会和美国联邦政府之间。
It brought about the separation of the state from ecclesiastical institutions and the dissociation of the political community of citizens from any religious community.
这个造成了一个宗教的分离，就把属于政治的这些公民社群跟宗教的社群分隔开来。
But the secularization of the state did not bring in its wake either the decline or the privatization of religion.
但是这个政府的世俗化并没有引起宗教的衰落或是宗教的私人化。
By the end of the Second Great Awakening, roughly the 1830s,
差不多在1930年代，这个第二度的大觉醒。
Evangelical Protestantism had become established de facto as the American civil religion, that is, as the public religion of American civil society.
在这个时候，福音派的新教渐渐变成了本质上几乎可以算是美国的公民宗教，也就是说，它作为一种在美国公民社会中的公共宗教。
The second disestablishment brought about the secularization of American higher education and the loss of Protestant cultural hegemony over the public sphere of American civil society.
第二个，解除国家教会，这个就引起了美国的高等教育的世俗化，同时呢，使得这个新教的这个霸权在底下几个领域失落了，其中一个是这个新教霸权对于美国公民社会这个领域这种掌控失落了，还有下面。
And I want to remind you that practically every American university started as a religious college.
同时，我想要提醒各位，在几乎每一个美国大学里面都开始了宗教研究。
Harvard was congregational.They started as divinity schools, as seminaries. Harvard and Yale were congregational. Columbia was Anglican. Princeton was Presbyterian. And so on. Georgetown, my university, was Jesuit and still is Jesuit and Catholic.
像我自己的 Georgetown University 是属于天主教的耶稣会派。
99% of all universities until the 1860s, with the exception of the University of Virginia, established by Thomas Jefferson, were denominational colleges.
那么在到1860年之前，美国99%的学校，除了维吉尼亚的一座大学以外，都是基督教开始的。
The most important transformation was that by 1890.
最重要的改变是1890年。
When the new secular universities are established.
当新的世俗化大学
建立之后。John Hopkins, Cornell, University of Chicago, 90%.Well, close to 90% of all universities become non-denominational, and you have the establishing of state universities which are non-denominational.
So, from that time, there were some important non-denominational universities, like Cornell, like Chicago University, like Johns Hopkins University. From that time, 90% of American universities left the denominational sect, and the state universities of the United States also no longer belong to it.
Even today, probably one third to one fourth of colleges in America are still religious colleges.
到今天，大概是三分之一到三分之一的美国大学是属于宗教宗派的大学。
The Jesuits alone have 20-somewhat colleges in America. And of course, there are hundreds of evangelical colleges like Baylor and so on. Okay. So let's go back to the last sentence. Let's go back to so the loss of Protestant cultural hegemony over the public sphere of American civil society, partly because of the intellectual new voices coming from these secularized universities.
那么这个主要的一部分就是因为从这个新的大学里面开始的这种声音，就是知识分子声音，是世俗化声音。
But more importantly, the loss of cultural hegemony over the newly emerging large industrial urban centers in the Northeast and Midwest, where in increasingly divided Protestantism had to face the arrival of large new immigrant Catholic and Jewish majorities.
但是更重要的就是这种话题的统治，美国新教化权的统治，在这个地方也渐渐流失了，就是在美国的东北部和美国的中西部。那么这个是新兴的工业和城市中心，在这个地方呢，他们要必须要面对新的，就是他们的新教必须要面对从外面来的天主教，还有犹太教的这个少数，但是他们之间会有一个竞争。
By 1900, the majority of the population in every large urban center is not anymore Protestant. New York, Philadelphia, Boston, I mean in the Midwest, Northeast and Midwest, Chicago, etc., because of the new Catholic and Jewish immigrants.
到了1900年代的时候，在美国的几个主要大城市，包括波士顿，包括Philadelphia，包括纽约，他们主要的人口已经不再是新教人口，因为有了天主教的人口的加入。
Protestant fundamentalism emerged at the turn of the century as a modern anti-modernist reaction against this second disestablishment.
新教的原教旨主义兴起于世纪之初，那么这个时候它兴起作为一个对第二次解除国教的现代反现代的一种反应。By the late
1960s, the counterculture, the civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, and the anti-war movement, and the Catholic Aggiornamento, the Vatican Council, too, all had contributed to putting the American civil religion on trial, and there were numerous indications that a third disestablishment, the disestablishment of the Protestant ethic from the American way of life, was underway.
从1960年代开始，一个对抗的文化，还有这个公民权利的运动，还有越战，还有反战的运动，以及天主教的现代化，这一切都导致了美国的公民宗教被放上了审判台。那么在这里有无数的迹象显示，第三个解除国教的行动就开始了。
From now on, the American way of life will be characterized by the plurality of ways of life.
从现在开始，所谓的美国式的生活，它的特点就是生活的多样性。
By multiculturalism and by what could be called moral denominationalism.
还有是宗教的多元性，以及我们可以称之为在道德方面的宗派化主义。
From the first to the third disestablishment.
从第一次到第三次的不利国教或者解除国教。
The interpretation of the First Amendment, namely free exercise.
这个对于美国的宪法第一条的解释就是自由行使宗教权。
Was progressively extended.
被持续的在扩展。
A, from the constitutional protection of the free exercise of religion.
第一个，它是从这个地方作为一个起点，从宪法上面保护宗教行使宗教的自由。
B, to freedom of inquiry and thought.
到保障有责问和思想的自由。
C, to freedom of mores.
第三，就是到有习俗的自由，爱怎么做怎么做。
That is of conduct.
也就是行为。
Exemplified above all in the new right to privacy and in the gender and sexual revolutions.
这个作为一个例子，最明显的表现就是美国人强调他们的隐私权，还有对于性以及性别方面的革命。
Protestant fundamentalism re-emerged publicly in reaction to this third disestablishment.
对于这个第三个解除国教新教的原教旨主义就兴起来了，作为一种反动，作为一种回应。
Today, it has become obvious that the fusion of Protestant fundamentalism and the Republican Party re-establish the 19th century post-millennial evangelical Protestant vision.
今天很明显的我们看到就是新教的原教旨主义和美国的共和党派他们的结合重新建立了在十九世纪就是后一千年的这个福音教派的一种 vision 一种他们的一种愿景他们所看到的一个意象
That America is a city on a hill
他们看到美国是一个在山上的一个城市，在丘陵上面小道上的一个形式的城市，这个有它的宗教含义。等一下，请这个教授给我们解释一下。
The Redeemer Nation，
他们富有救赎性的国家。
That is building the kingdom of God at home and abroad。
他们在本土以及在国外都在建立一个上帝的国度。
City on a hill, when the Puritans arrived in Massachusetts, one of their preachers gave the vision that their society was going to be like a city on a hill.A light and model for the entire world. The image of the city on a hill comes from the Bible. And this has been President Reagan, of course. President Ronald Reagan was the one who brought back the old language of a city on a hill.The Redeemer Nation, America, which is going to redeem the entire world from poverty, from unfreedom, from all problems. It's going to be utopia, the kingdom of God on earth.
那么这个救赎的国度就是美国要把全世界从贫困、从不自由、从种种的问题里面解救出来。那么就是一个上帝的国度。
This is what is called post-millennialism.
这个就是我们所谓的就是后千年的这个运动。
That the kingdom of God, namely the second coming of Jesus,
就是上帝的国度，也就是说耶稣基督的再降临。